I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Four million people living in Canada are food insecure. We live in a world where we urge our children to share, as we imagine a better future, one where everyone has reliable access to nourishing food. This culture of compassion must be extended on an exponential scale. At the Walrus Talks Living Better in 2019, Nick Saul, food and social justice activist, and president and CEO of Community Food Centres Canada, explored the importance of pushing for systemic change through political engagement and grassroots initiatives on the journey to improving food security. Welcome to the conversation piece.
Good evening. My name is Nick Saul. When my boys were little, I mean very little, I spent much time perched on the edge of sandboxes in local parks. Young kids do a lot of what's known as parallel play. When they finally notice each other, it's often to throw sand, bite, or grab someone else's toy. And so there are parents like me everywhere urging their darlings through gritted teeth to please, please share. We spend years pushing the importance of sharing with our children. And indeed, it's a lesson that most people eventually learn and embrace. I see it on my street where we support one another with drives to doctor's appointments and baking a banana bread when required. I see it in my work with our generous volunteers and donors who give their time, energy, and funds to low-income communities. I was also recently struck by a few newspaper stories highlighting this desire to help. There was the Egyptian owner of a pita shop in St. John's, Newfoundland, who saw people going hungry in his adopted city and started to offer free food to homeless people once a week. Inspired by his generosity, customers began to make donations to help him keep it up. And then there was the Toronto family who were concerned about people going without food in their neighborhood. So they set up a little free pantry, essentially a mini food bank on their front lawn that people could access anytime. This kind of sharing is intimate and tangible. It's easy to see the direct impact. I think it emerges from a deep wellspring of empathy, and that such acts are expressions of our shared humanity. At the core, they represent who we truly are as a species, social beings who need each other to thrive and survive. The problem is the scale is way, way off. In Canada alone, 4 million people are food insecure. That's 13% of our population. In the Black community, that number soars to 29%. In Nunavut, 47% of households worry about where their next meal will come from. These are people living diminished lives because of their poverty. They're disproportionately affected by a wide range of physical and mental health issues, including heart disease, diabetes, anxiety, and depression. This is a reality that affects us all. We're not only compromised morally, but also economically, as poverty is estimated to cost us upwards of $80 billion per year. We can't possibly hope to tackle these big, serious, urgent issues with food pantries on front lawns or pitas once a week, no matter how kind, genuine, and well-meaning. The solution of enormous structural inequalities is indeed sharing, just like we tell our kids in the sandbox, only now the sandbox is exponentially bigger, and that sharing has to be as well. The promise of liberal democracy and its government is that we can secure such large-scale sharing through our democratic institutions. This means pushing governments to use our collective tax dollars to underwrite initiatives that put the needs of the many over the few. It means creating and safeguarding policy and regulations so that everyone has their basic rights met to housing, to education, to water, to food. And yet, few of us seem to believe government is able to do this anymore. Many people, especially the most marginalized, just don't feel they have a say or a stake in government. In a time of rampant disinformation, divisive social media, a House of Commons that resembles that sandbox I just talked about going south, and politicians that don't follow through on their promises, it's hardly surprising that Canadians' trust in government is dwindling. It's understandable, yes, but it's also bad news for creating a more equitable world. The only way to climb out of the mess that we're in is to reclaim the political system and use it to shape our communities in our shared interest. Let me be clear, very clear. I'm not trying to say that individual acts of kindness and generosity aren't important. They are. They help build a culture of compassion. But I think we must simultaneously work at a societal level. And this requires us to engage with politics and government to forge a society that reflects our best and true selves. Democracy only works when we make our voices heard, applying pressure to bring about the change we want to see. Politics, after all, is a contact sport. We can start here in Canada by continuing to push for that elusive electoral reform, doing away with the first-past-the-post system, which suffocates diversity of voice and debate. We can elect and support politicians who commit to moving away from short-termism and the false hope of endless growth, people who see our health and the health of the planet as their north stars guiding every decision. Curbing the power and influence of corporations in the public policy realm will be an essential part of this. Evidence-based research, not lobbying, bottom-line thinking, and a thirst for quarterly returns, must drive decisions that affect us all. Finding the courage to implement bold transformational change to meet the urgency of the vast inequalities that exist is also crucial. The discarding of Ontario's basic income pilot project, despite evidence that it was improving health, reducing stress, and increasing educational opportunities, was a massive, massive missed opportunity to address the yawning gap between the rich and everyone else. We must also foster spaces where people can come together to discover and articulate their shared interests. Let's establish nonpartisan neighborhood councils that focus on creating people-centered policies. Nonprofits are perfectly suited to host such councils, as they are places that have the potential to truly galvanize the voices and issues of the most ignored in our society. All of this is possible. I know it because everywhere I look, I see people caring deeply about each other. I see hope in the millions, millions upon millions of young people marching in the streets to demand their political representatives meet head-on the climate emergency and its resulting inequalities. I see smaller scale but deeply radical hope in the low-income people of Dartmouth North, where a grassroots voter education and mobilizing campaign at our community food center there increased the number of people at the polls threefold, raising issues and concerns central to that community. I believe that we're at a moment when we have to decide if we're going to hoard or we're going to share. What kind of world do we want our children to inherit? Do we want to be biters and hitters in the sandbox, or do we want to be part of a different sort of sandbox where every person has a chance to play? I think we live better when we all live better. And we live best when we are working together in our communities and through the political system to ensure everyone has a dignified seat at the table. Thank you very much for listening.
Nick Saul is a Canadian food and social justice activist, author, and the president and CEO of Community Food Centres Canada. He is also the Chancellor of Victoria University in the University of Toronto, and is among the over 800 fantastic speakers who have been featured on the Walrus Talk stage. Subscribe to The Conversation Piece on your favorite podcast platform. And to register for upcoming events happening online or in a city near you, and to catch up on our archive of The Walrus Talks, visit thewalrus.ca/events.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.